This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Oklahoma City won last night against the Wolves. They advanced to the NBA Finals.
A lot too, a little.
And we are wondering, if you're a Warrior fan, does that game, that series, that team, those teams, impact where you try to get better in the offseason and how you try to get better in the offseason? Jonathan Kuminga is their big piece this summer. They'll either re-sign him or they'll sign and trade him. I find it hard to believe they would let him walk for nothing. But that's where we're at right now with the Golden State Warriors. And another name came up this morning.
What?
Go ahead. Well, he plays for an NBA team, Domantas Sabonis.
Huh.
Would you be interested in Sabonis for the Warriors?
First of all, what do you think of Sabonis as a player?
Well, I'm not crazy about him, but here's the way I feel about some guys like Sabonis. Do I like him as a player? Not really. But at some point, a guy's reputation then becomes worse than the player actually is.
Shedeur Sanders.
No, more like,
like Fred VanVleet? No.
That's not a bad name. That's not a bad name. Like, he's not worth the money. He's overpaid, but he's not useless.
Can actually hurt you.
I mean, Sabonis has some skill. You know, I know you can't do it this way, but would you move Draymond and Kuminga for Sabonis?
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
I would not. Okay. And the reason is, I don't really think it makes you that much better. And he's just an expensive play-in player to me.
Trades are hard.
Like, so, Sabonis,
could he be elevated with Steph and Butler?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I think if you acquire him, he makes Draymond Green obsolete. That's because he's involved in so much action.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of passing the basketball, I don't think Sabonis is a scrub by any means, but I've never watched him play and thought, I can win at a high level with him being an important player. And he's someone that has to be an important player to be effective.
Can he be the third best?
I don't know. Could he? I mean, I think a couple of years ago when the Kings made the playoffs, there were some nights when he was the third best player, but I don't think he's a three. To me, he's a he's a lower level one.
Right.
You know, if you get Sabonis, you know he's going to play like 80 games. He's going to get you double doubles every night. But is he going to get you W's? I really question that. And I think it's a big reason why Indiana chose to flip him for kind of a question mark. I mean, Tyrese Haliburton was talented. There's no doubt about that. But Sabonis was a proven all-star for them. They had been to the postseason. I think they lost in the first round. And they would have rather taken a flyer on a kid who... We didn't know if Haliburton was going to be what he is now. They would have rather done that than pay Sabonis.
Right.
To me, he's a really expensive statistical fun player to watch. I mean, you know who he is? He's David Lee. Sabonis is David Lee. And David Lee was a damn good player. But anytime David Lee was the focus of your team, there's a ceiling there.
That's true. That's true. Let's go to Joe. Joe's in Burbank. What's up, Joe? How you doing, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hi, hey. Steiny. Hi, Evan.
How are you?
What's up, Joe?
How you guys doing? Good. You know, you were asking about the future, and even though I'm really big on doing a rebuild because I'm four championships, I love watching young players get better, so I'm really kind of a rebuild type person. But as far as the future goes, and you're trying to work with Steph, I think the last shot for Steph should be next season. After that, should be a rebuild. And you know, it's interesting on OKC. They got some people over there that are making some great decisions. They talk about OKC and draft picks, but Isaiah Joe is a shooter, and he was a 49th pick in the second round. Lou Dort was a free agent, so those guys are doing something right. And speaking of the second round, the Warriors had the 41st pick, and usually they have late 50s, so who knows what they can do with a 41. And laugh out loud, too bad Joe Lacob couldn't buy another second so they can package 2 seconds and move up to the 33, 34, 35, because there's some really good players up there. And last thing, you know, as far as Kuminga goes, you know, we gave away Poole, basically. And that the whole thing was, you know, what a yep. waste. So unless we can get value for Kuminga, we should hold on to it. And that's about all I got to say, guys. I love the show. Love you guys.
Thanks, Joe.
Have a good one.
Yeah, no, thank you, Joe. Appreciate the call. I'm kind of with you on Kuminga, but okay, and I'm not in love with Sabonis, but we're Evan and I are talking about, you know, how the Warriors navigate this period of time at the end of Steph's career. Butler's getting a little bit older, and there was a line in the Athletic story by Anthony Slater, the clear regarding Kuminga, who everybody seems to acknowledge is the biggest piece the Warriors have to either re-sign or get somebody for.
Yep.
Slater writes, the cleanest path is finding a sign-and-trade scenario that delivers the Warriors veterans who fit the unique system built around Curry. So, how about this? You know how I feel about, let's say, Vucevic. He's going to be 35. You know, would you want, if you can't keep Kuminga, get Vucevic. Okay, I don't want to do that. But a guy like Sabonis, and I'm not crazy about Sabonis, and I'm not necessarily saying I would make the deal, but that's the kind of guy I think that serves two masters. One is you could get Sabonis and sell. We might be better. It's possible we might be better with Sabonis, but you also get a little bit younger. So you know that for the next 3 to 5 years, you got a pretty good player. At least a pretty good player. Not a franchise player. We've understood that. But the one thing that I'm just blown away by is, why do people confuse re-signing somebody with building around somebody? If the Warriors re-sign Kuminga, that doesn't mean they're building around him. It means he will be in the fold for 4 years or whatever it is. And the way you do it is, okay, you extend Pods at some point. You extend Kuminga at some point. Oh, look, Moody's starting to really come into his own. Then you go try to get a big boy. Like, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to build around Kuminga. It just means you keep some pieces on board when you have a chance, if you do, to make a big move and strike a big deal.
No, but I do think it's a lot of people probably wonder how you get the big boy. Like, Jimmy Butler was a big boy, but obviously there were circumstances that led to that. You know, like, I think Kuminga is going to be on the team because I think it's just as likely that they could trade him this summer as they could trade him at the deadline next year. But in order to do that, you need to bring him in at a number, and that number has to be enticing to other teams. Like, one of the reasons why I think it's going to be really hard to trade JK this summer is because there's something called the base year compensation. It's a new piece of the CBA. It's in the Slater piece, and basically it illustrates that this summer, if the Warriors trade Kuminga, let's say they sign him for $30 million, the max salary that they can bring in would be 50% of that outgoing salary. So essentially, they would be trading Kuminga for a $15 million player. That's if he signs for 30 per year. So you have to have another team that wants to acquire a $30 million, largely unknown talent, and be willing to give you a player at 15 or less that is good enough to improve your roster. Like, that's just a really fine needle to thread. And so if I sign Kuminga for, let's say, 20
right.
or 25, a more reasonable number, and I think more enticing for another basketball team, then if I wait till the deadline next February, I can actually just trade him dollar for dollar. And there's some other consequences, like if you go above a certain number, you're hard capped in the first apron and all this. But the point is, I don't think it's just simple as, well, let's sign Kuminga to a $27 million deal and flip him straight up for Cam Johnson.
Right.
Like, it doesn't work like that. Or let's package him with Draymond and let's do that. Like, it's not as simple as trading Kuminga player for player. And so I think that, honestly, the way that it's going to set up this summer is you're not even going to be able to get a player that's as talented or perhaps even productive as Kuminga. Like, you would be trading for a lesser talent, because that player can only make $10 to probably $15 million a year. And I don't think there's a guy out there in my mind that another team would be willing to come off of that the Warriors would then look at and say, yeah, we're in fact better off without JK. Like, that just doesn't work in my mind.
Right, and I'm just happen to be looking at Oklahoma City, who has got a bunch of players at like 12, 13, but they don't want Kuminga.
No.
They have no need for Kuminga. By the way, I meant to play you guys this because, you know, and I want to see, I want to get to the YouTube chat, because I know there's some people on the YouTube chat that, you know, let's say very infrequently I say something and it's turns out not to be right. Again, very infrequently. But usually when that happens, the, you know, text lines jump all over me. Draymond Green is doing analyst work.
Well, you usually do that to yourself. But
I do what?
Invite the text line to jump all over you. It's neither here nor there.
Well, I don't need that is what I'm saying. And what I'm saying is, if these people are consistent who rip me, what do you think about your guy Draymond Green? Remember this about the Oklahoma City Thunder?
But the one thing I see with the OKC team that is a little alarming for me is like their post games, like seven guys in the interview. Like, there's a certain seriousness that it takes to win in this league. And there's a certain fear you have to instill in a team, in teams, in order to win. And I just don't know if they're instilling that fear in teams with all the bromance and stuff after the game. Like, bro, oh, we all the bros, it's the homies. Like, that's cool. There's a time and a place for that. But after every time somebody's in the interview, you got seven guys, eight guys. Then you got the same seven, eight guys with a picture with Josh Giddey right after they play. Like, again, I'm all for having fun. Like, it's an 82-game season. You should have fun. But you also have to understand when people are looking at you to be the team, and you have to understand when your moment is. And right now, I don't know if OKC understands, but their moment is now.
Well, he actually stuck the landing. I forgot about that last part. That sounds a little bit better than the first part.
I have no idea, and I know Draymond's a solid basketball mind.
You don't have to suck up to him.
What? I can't understand for the life of me why anyone would think that something like that would be the preventative issue for a team to win a title. I mean, I would love to ask him about, okay, yeah, Gilgeous Alexander does a post game and six nitwits come up behind him and smile and laugh. You're going to jump to there's a seriousness they don't have? That doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't.
That take is how you know. And to be fair, it was November 1st, 2024, so it was at the very beginning of the season. Like, notice he threw Josh Giddey in there, who wasn't even on the team.
True.
But that take right there is how you know that Draymond Green is the next Charles Barkley. Because that sounds exactly like Charles Barkley saying the Warriors can't win a championship because they take jump shots. That they can't win a title because they're a jump shooting team. And to be fair, Barkley wasn't the only one that felt that way. But a lot of people have had that same take or that same energy for the Thunder. The reason why they're not going to win at all is because that is an illustration, that is Exhibit A, of their inexperience and their immaturity. And they can't get it done because of it. Now you got to eat crow. You have to eat crow. The Warriors were a team that were seen as soft and were perimeter-based, and people overlooked the fact that they played great defense. They were amazing passers. They actually got a lot of points in the paint. They just didn't have high flyers or dunkers. They beat you from the outside in, but they beat you regardless. And so when I hear Draymond Green talk about the Thunder, it just reminds me of all the analysts and talking heads speaking about the Warriors in 2013, 14, 15, saying this team will never get it done because you can't build around Steph and Klay Thompson and win a championship. You can't do it. And Draymond's about to find out, I think, in about 2 weeks, why the last part of his statement was correct, that it is their time, and that the post-game interviews that they're doing, it has no bearing on what goes on in the court.
No. I wouldn't have associated, you know, having fun in a post-game interview with a lack of seriousness. There can be a lot of things going on at one time. But I just, you know, just take it with a grain of salt. He's the same guy that said the Warriors were going to win a title this year.
Well, are you saying Draymond, he should just become an analyst? That's what he should do?
Well, that's what he's going to do, and he's an incredibly smart basketball mind.
Well, but he also has a head coach offer from the Warriors when he retires. You remember that?
Sure, I remember that. I'm just, even as great as he is,
Draymond's players,
he ain't right all the time. He ain't right all the time.
Well, who is? But it would actually, what I would love is for Draymond Green in a hypothetical world, it'll never happen. Yeah, maybe. To get hired as the head coach of the OKC Thunder and watch his players do post-game interviews draped around each other and have to realize that, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Now, I personally don't like it because I think it takes away from SGA, personally. And I think that people associate him with being soft or just a grifter or a foul baiter a lot of times because he's grouped in with all these nitwits. But that's why I don't like the post-game interviews. It's not because I don't think they can win a title.
Yeah, I just...
Like, they won 68 games this year.
Well, that's the other thing.
They were the one seed last year, too, right?
They were the one seed,
I think, by a game, or they had the tiebreaker against Denver.
Oh, they were up there for sure.
I mean, I think they won in the mid 50s, but if they were one of the best teams objectively last year too,
and then
they took a bigger step.
Absolutely, and I think
thank you, Kenny. You know, and again, they were a one seed.
And again, We did it. We did it again with the Thunder. And I know they haven't won it yet, but oh, Thunder, they got beat in the second round. I mean, they got to exercise demons. You don't have to exercise demons when you're 25.
Well,
you just have to be as good as you can be, and sometimes you're not going to be as good as the other team.
Well, I mean,
no demons in Oklahoma City. Get out of here.
Well, they have a haunted hotel. That's a fact. I think you're trying to take a little heat off your boys.
No, I'm trying to...
Like, they got demons.
I'm trying to come down on Guru.
Well, he's not here.
And you to a lesser extent, for just not acknowledging a team that's young and growing.
Oh, my God.
That stumbled last year in the second round, won 68 games this year. Oh, but Warriors get the Thunder. I mean, Warriors will be favored in that series. How come? Well, they got the experience. They got experience. The Pike.
Who said that?
You all. You, Ken, Carter.
No, see, what I think is...
Warrior fans.
You see texts and you see callers that come in with these wild takes. And then what you do is, let's say I'm sitting in this chair today. You imagine Guru's face on my shoulders, and you just want to yell at him, but hey. You can't. You can't yell at him because he ain't here. And also, I hope he's well, and I hope he's back tomorrow. But you can't yell at him. You got to yell at me, or you got to yell at Ken, who's wearing this stupid Knicks hat, not realizing that his team is about to be the same place that the Wolves were after last night, which is headed to insert international destination. Sorry, Ken.
Let me tell you where I'm coming from.
You guys
510. And this is where you might look at something and say it's black, and I might look at it and say it's green. There goes Steiny hating. No, you're wrong. You hate. You hate 510. You hate it on the Thunder. You all, they're not good enough. They're too young. Just let it play out. Let it play out. That's all I'm saying.
Well, we got to have opinions about something. Also, the fact that, sure. Let's see if the 510 sees something as, you said black, and you see it as green.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make the 510 colorblind?
I guess.
Like a dog. Like a timberwolf.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I mean, they couldn't see anything last night except for just hands. Thunder hands everywhere. You know how I knew that they were done? But by the way, you're talking about like a young, growing team. Your squad is not young and growing. In fact...
Who? Oklahoma City?
No. Minnesota.
Did I say they were?
Yeah, because you group them in. I'm doing what you do. I'm just grouping your words in. I'm putting words in your mouth. So the Timberwolves have one player who is young and growing. The rest of their players are not young and growing. In fact...
McDaniels?
Yeah, he's okay.
Now go ahead. Now you finish.
No, two.
My bad.
Yeah, don't cut me off.
Okay.
We got 2 minutes left here. Rudy Gobert is going to be 34.
What's your point?
He's old.
Conley
is in your words, a fossil. That guy is, by the way, I think I said this, the reason why they were going to lose last night, the reason why I knew that they had laid down is because they sent a veteran spokesman to the sideline interview after the first quarter because no one else wanted to do it.
That's called being classy.
Yeah, you send the classiest individual, Mike Conley, who's up there sounding like his dog died because he knows that they have no chance to win this game.
Boy, that's some interpretation.
Well, Rudy Gobert looked like he had the same look on his face as when Steph hit the golden dagger in his hometown.
Did you see this is what you didn't see clearly. Chris Finch said, we've got to figure out a way to get a little more out of Rudy at the offensive end.
Your boy's on the hot seat, by
the
way.
He said, we didn't do a better job. We could have done a better job of that. So they have Naz Reid's getting worse?
Well, he's going to be gone.
Nickel Alexander Walker?
Is he going to be worth the $16 million they're going to have to pay him next year?
Listen.
Uh-oh.
Let me tell you what's going to happen. Let me tell you what's going to happen.
And
Warrior fans, some Warrior fans going to get their comeuppance.
Oh boy.
Because the Warriors will go out and get Naz Reid and everyone will think he's the guy who always plays like he plays against the Warriors. He's not. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. I also want to get into this idea of veterans helping the youngsters and where the Warriors veterans fit in on that. Because I got a piece of sound that really piqued my interest. I'll play it for you on the other side. All right, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson.
You know, that reminds me. The boss put something out on social media last night. And I didn't realize it at the time. You guys totally snitched on me.
Which time?
Well, so when Bob comes on, friend of the show, Bob Myers... You know, I kind of looked for an opportunity to give him the drop because he knows everyone and he's such a humble person that it's not like he's trying to brag. So I'm looking for a spot to drop one on him. He says, I know Mike Dunleavy, perfectly placed. Whoop. And he says, who is that? And without hesitation, both of you scream, that's Evan.
I don't Evan control the drop.
Evan did it.
And I don't control.
And he flames me for like 30 seconds.
Oh, you should be flattered.
No. Well, I do like Bob, but no. It was a funny bit, but I thought it was so funny that I overlooked the fact that you guys just dimed me out in 0.5 seconds.
Wow.
I thought we were better than that.
I could have sworn that Myers said, oh, is that Evan?
No. He was about to guess someone, and then you jumped in before he could even say who he thought it was and said, yeah, that's Evan. Get your boys, Bob. Right. Get your boys.
All right. This is something that hit me. So Joe Flacco.
Like a bag of nickels.
Joe Flacco. Quarterback for the Browns.
Again?
Yes. And they have a young player on their team, Shedeur Sanders.
They have a couple young players on
right?
their team.
Shedeur Sanders is a young quarterback with a bright future ahead of him. And Joe Flacco was asked a question. And the answer to me was so perfect that you can apply it to any sport, any player. So Flacco's a little bit older. He might be older than Butler.
He's so old that, was it last year? He was on the Colts last year, and Anthony Richardson said his mom really liked Joe Flacco. That's how old Joe Flacco is.
So Joe Flacco, who's... I don't know how old he is, but let's just say he's as old as Curry, Butler, and Draymond combined. 40. Okay, so
okay.
Let's. He was asked, because he's got Shedeur Sanders on the team, whether he's going to be a mentor. And this is the greatest answer of all time.
Because it's a good question to bait somebody into answering, and no matter how they answer it, it kind of makes the guy that's answering it look bad. If I say I don't want to be a mentor, I look bad. If I say I do want to be a mentor, then I look like an idiot that doesn't care about being good and playing football. So it's one of those questions that no matter what I say, you guys can write what you want to write about it. And there's a lot of questions like that. That's why you end up having to try to avoid them. I tend to try to be honest. And I've said, I'm not a mentor. I play football. And in a quarterback room, there's a lot of times already, there's been already a ton of times where there's learning experiences. And I have a lot of experience and I can talk on things. And hopefully they listen. But it's not necessarily like my job to like make sure they listen to me. And, you know, hey, like hopefully you have a really good relationship with the guys that are in the room. And you naturally want to do that. You know, but that was a long-winded answer, but that's ultimately why I think you guys ask it.
That was Joe Flacco being honest.
Floor is yours. I got some thoughts.
Well, I just completely love the answer because it was nuanced and, you know, he's kind of on the fence, which I respect. But no, here's where my mind went on that.
Okay.
So are you going to be a mentor? He's like, I want to start first of all, but yeah, you know, I'll say some things here and there. And it got me to thinking this. Have the Warriors veterans mentored anybody over the years? Mentored.
Yeah. Like Quinn Cook. Jordan Bell. They're taking those guys under their wings.
Okay, so you can make a case that they tried to mentor Jordan Bell, but they actually did it the completely wrong way.
What? No, stop. I think, in all seriousness, I don't think that people like to mentor threats. Like, no one wants to get Wally pipped.
Right.
So why would you spend your time trying to help a player that, for example, is going to be your replacement? Like, I think Klay Thompson wanted no part to do with Jordan Poole. And it's not so much as he doesn't like Jordan, but Jordan was a threat. Jordan Poole was a threat to eventually one day replace Klay Thompson as the Golden State Warriors shooting guard. And he didn't like that. So no, I don't think that Klay Thompson had any intention of mentoring Jordan Poole.
Has Draymond Green mentored Jonathan Kuminga? My answer would be absolutely not. Absolutely not.
What about Pods? What about Post?
I don't know about Post. And I don't know about Pods. I think the one thing Pods has going for him is I think the veterans acknowledge he's a hard worker. And his intentions are to be as good a player as he can be. But I am wondering more about, over the years, is it fair to say that young guys have struggled to break through on this team? And does it have to do with the demeanor of the veterans? Or where they are? You know, like, who have they mentored? Who have they welcomed in as a young player and said, this is somebody who I'm gonna take care of so that when I'm gone, he's the next guy?
Well, I'll bring it to the Warriors in a second, but I think we jumped on the highway and completely bypassed the point that Joe Flacco, what he said, while it might be on the fence and nuanced and it sounds great, you and I hear a cop out. You don't want to be a mentor. And he said that.
Right.
But that's all that matters. You don't want to be a mentor. So you saying that journalists are going to set you up to fail one way or another, I actually don't think that's true.
I do think it's true.
No, because if he says, I want to be a mentor, no one is going to write that you don't care about football, which is what he said.
No, but they're going to question his competitiveness.
No, they're not.
I think
Joe Flacco, as a backup quarterback, led the Browns to a postseason appearance. No one's going to say that Joe Flacco doesn't want to compete. Joe Flacco's a Super Bowl winning MVP. He's a champion. He's been in this league for damn near 20 years. No one is going to say that Joe Flacco isn't a competitor because he comes out and says, you know, I would really like to be a mentor to Shedeur Sanders. I think I have a lot to offer, and I think that I can help this young man become the best version of himself. No one's going to kill you for that. What he doesn't want to do is mentor, and that's fine. That's completely okay. That's your choice. But him saying that is a cop-out. Now back to the Warriors. Those players have never said one way or another whether they want to be mentors or not, but they absolutely can still be mentors and not be written off as, well, they're moving towards this stage of their career, they're moving towards that. Like, probably the player that quote applies to the most in my mind the last few years is Chris Paul. When he was on the Warriors, he didn't want to be a mentor. That's why he left, because he wanted to play all 82 games for the Spurs. But him being a mentor, which, by the way,
Was he to Pods?
Probably. He's been a mentor to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who literally walked over after a game and thanked him. Like, Chris Paul has been a mentor to players when he has chosen to be. That doesn't mean that he's any less competitive.
Well, I think there's an aspect we're missing here. And 888-957-9570. You know, what is the obligation of a veteran player to deal with a younger player? Here's the part I think we're missing a little bit. A guy like Joe Flacco, if he's considered a mentor, if he's talked about as a mentor, we may not believe it's an insult. It's an insult to Joe Flacco to say, well, he's here to mentor. Like, that would get me upset, because and it would make me think, no, I'm here to try to win the starting quarterback job, period. And if I don't win it, then I'm going to be the backup. And yeah, I'll try to help the kid as much as I can.
But you can't do that and mentor. Like, part of the reason why they signed you is to help the younger players.
Right, but I think if you're an athlete and...
That's one of the reasons why he's still in the league.
Right, but I don't think he likes being called a mentor. I don't think Chris Paul likes being called a mentor.
I totally agree.
Well, and that's why, regardless of what he says, he thinks he's going to, you know, get hit. To me, when you say, Steiny, are you a mentor? You know what? I am. That's where I'm at in my career. I'm a mentor. It's like, you may as well say you're done. You know what I mean? You may as well just say, I'm a coach.
No, I mean, like, Udonis Haslam was a mentor. You know, Andre Iguodala, his last season with the Warriors, was a mentor.
Has Steph Curry ever mentored somebody? And somebody on the text line saying, Steiny, who in the NBA has mentored anyone? Well, I'll just give you the example that popped into my head, because I was watching the Celtics documentary. And
that's the...
What?
You're so disappointing. You won't watch a documentary that Guru and I are interested in that we could build a show around and have a great conversation about. It doesn't matter. We ask you to do stuff all the time and you treat it like homework. And then the one thing that you're interested in is the one thing that you apparently know everything about, back of your hand.
No, I learned a lot in this Celtics documentary.
You know what else you could learn a lot about?
What's that?
Everything. Anything else that's not the Boston Celtics. I'm going to tell Goo this when I can't wait till he gets back.
Here's my point. So, one of the things the Celtics believe in is you have a guy who's a franchise player, and then you bring along a young player who is, according to the organization, could be a franchise player, and you nurture him. So, Larry Bird came into the Celtics, and Dave Cowens was still there. They overlapped for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Bird became the face of the franchise. In the mid-80s, they drafted Len Bias. And what I remember about that is Larry Bird said, after he was drafted, I can't wait to get in and work with this guy, because this guy could be the next blah, 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 next face of the franchise. So in the Celtics system, They look for that next player. And I'm just wondering, did, you know, how did the Warriors' big three handle young players who came in that wanted to make a name for themselves and wanted to maybe even and had good intentions to try to do it in a winning environment?
Yeah, but I think that you're also missing the point that those players can identify guys that are going to be the next. Like, I imagine that at some point Duncan, Parker, and Ginobili looked at Kawhi Leonard and said, yeah, he's going to be our meal ticket. I mean, like, seriously, we can play well and we can still help, but if we're going to win a championship, this guy's got to be our meal ticket. You know, same with the Celtics. I haven't watched that documentary. Personally, don't have any hankering to. But when Cowan sees Bird, or in the future when Bird sees Bias, God rest his soul, they know that that player has the potential to lead their franchise. To be fair, the Warriors haven't really had a player that I think the big three, especially someone like Steph, as great as he is, could look at and say, that's going to be my meal ticket. Like, I think if the Warriors had that dude, they absolutely would try to nurture and mentor him.
I think they might have had that guy.
Who?
Jordan Poole.
Oh, come on.
Okay, so Jordan Poole, if there was ever a player that needed mentoring, it was Jordan Poole.
Sure.
He was kind of immature, right?
Well, they did the opposite. One of the players did the opposite.
That's all I'm saying.
Yes, but to act like it, I agree with you there. I'm
not saying Jordan Poole could have been the best player on a championship team. I'm just saying they could have ushered him in a more inclusive way.
No, but I bet if Draymond Green thought he was Tyrese Halliburton, he wouldn't have punched him. You know, like if they thought that this player was going to be their meal ticket to another championship in the near future, you don't treat him the way that they treated or that Draymond Green treated him.
But he was a part of a championship team.
And like, I'm not saying that's Poole's fault, by the way. Like he is who he is, and that decision was indefensible.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Let's go to Brandon. Brandon's in Orinda. How you doing, Brandon? What's going on?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Just quickly, like, you know, the definition of a mentor is a trusted advisor, experienced and trusted advisor. And I think it's up to the younger players to be open, A, to being mentored,
mm-hmm.
and then B, for the mentor to offer their experience. And, you know, whether or not Shedeur Sanders ever wants to get mentored by Joe Flacco is a completely different thing. But I think, you know, these experienced players are mentors even when they don't know it, just by how they conduct their day-to-day business. And it's up to the younger players to notice and follow. And how do you take care of your body when you're going back and forth across the country and media and so on and so forth? So a lot of these guys are mentors and they don't know it, but it's up to the younger players to be open to receiving that guidance. And that's all I got. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Well, for example, you know, last break I was talking to somebody and I said, Steph Curry, I don't want to out this guy. Is Steph Curry a mentor? And he said, well, yeah. And I said, well, how? Who's he ever taken under his wing? And the answer that here's what I heard the last caller say is, you know how Steph mentors? By showing up on time, by staying late, by being the last one out of the gym, by being professional, by giving an example to the younger players. But I think a mentor does more than that. I think a mentor...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, Other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Well, does more than that. And I'm just wondering what the veterans' role has been with the younger players over the course of the last, you know, 6-8 years. And I'm asking Warrior fans, did the veterans on this team do a good job of mentoring? Should they mentor? And, or do you think it's just a stupid subject, which I actually don't?
No, I think it's interesting. And I don't think that anyone is owed mentorship, but I do give credit to players who choose to mentor. Let me run this by you.
Yeah.
So when Quentin Post, I forget what time of the year was it. He told a story about early in the season, getting back from a road trip really late, and he was having trouble with his Uber at like 2 a.m., 3 right. a.m. Curry drives him to his place of residence. I don't know if I'd define that as being a mentor, but it's absolutely well within Curry's right to say, all right, Rook, see you, man, take it easy. Like, but he, that's, I guess where I'm confused where the line is being a good teammate versus being a mentor. Like, I think Curry's a great teammate, but you're saying there's more that he can do. I would argue that him offering to take a no-name rookie home out of his way, granted, it actually wasn't that far out of his way, which we did some math on, but he still gave Quentin Post a ride home when he didn't have to. You know, and maybe they're talking about the game, maybe they're talking about life, maybe they're talking about how to handle yourself. That to me is mentoring. You know, so I would say that Curry, while Quentin Post may never transform into the next Nowitzki, you know, and so we're not going to see the direct correlation between Curry talking to him and him becoming an all-star sort of deal, that is mentoring.
Yeah, I don't think it is. Okay. I think it's giving a dude a ride.
Right.
But this is what we're talking about if you're just joining us. Joe Flacco, quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Obviously, Shedeur Sanders is there. They asked him if he's here to mentor. And this answer just really got me thinking about the Warriors and their veteran players and how they've done over the years with this issue and how they're doing possibly now with this issue, because I think it's important. So I'm going to play this Flacco again.
Because it's a good question to bait somebody into answering, and no matter how they answer it, it kind of makes the guy that's answering it look bad. If I say I don't want to be a mentor, I look bad. If I say I do want to be a mentor, then I look like an idiot that doesn't care about being good and playing football. So it's one of those questions that no matter what I say, you guys can write what you want to write about it. And there's a lot of questions like that. That's why you end up having to try to avoid them. I tend to try to be honest, and I've said I'm not a mentor. I play football. And in a quarterback room, there's a lot of times there's been a ton of times where there's learning experiences, and I have a lot of experience, and I can talk on things, and hopefully they listen. But it's not necessarily like my job to like make sure they listen to me. And you know, hey, like hopefully you have a really good relationship with the guys that are in the room, and you naturally want to do that, you know. But that was a long-winded answer, but that's ultimately why I think you guys ask it.
All right, so that was Joe Flacco, and the guy, several names popped into my head, and Jordan Poole's the one that hit me the most. And I get it. It's it's become a lightning rod because of what Draymond Green did. But to me, yes, he needed to be mentored. You know who else needs to be mentored? Anthony Edwards. He needs to be mentored. He doesn't need a teammate. He needs somebody to mentor him. But anyway, so Jordan Poole gets here.
Sure.
And he's no factor. Then he goes down to the G League and rehabs his game. Now he comes up. He starts to play. And guess what? He's cocky. Guess what? His game doesn't quite fit perfectly with the big threes. He got infatuated, let's say, with that contract and getting money. Like, to me, wouldn't that be what? And I don't know how good he's going to be or how good he isn't going to be. But to me, Jordan Poole was the perfect guy for this big three, Steph, Draymond, and Klay to a lesser degree. Should have been mentoring Jordan Poole. Hey, dude, you're rubbing people the wrong way. All right, listen, we get it. You're young, blah, blah, blah. And maybe you help transform Jordan Poole into a player who 4 years later or 3 years later, no, he's not the face of your franchise or he's your best player and you're going to the finals. But he's turned into a mature guy, a mature player. And they didn't do it. They did. Like, did they try to help him?
I guess my question is, how much of that's on Poole?
A lot.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, and we don't know, but it doesn't appear like they mentored him in some massively maturity shifting way. But Poole was also 23,
right?
Just like Anthony Edwards. As you brought him up, I imagine he got some form of mentorship during the Summer Olympics when he's playing with LeBron, KD, Curry. So you can find mentorship in different ways. Like, Ant, get the drop ready. At Game 3, I asked Anthony Edwards about his little game within the game versus Curry when Curry was on the bench. And he told a story about Anthony Edwards and him and Curry, like, doing the shooting game during the summer, working out together. And when he was talking to Steph on the bench, he was basically reminding him of that shooting game. Like, I know he's not on the team,
right?
But Curry clearly has had some sort of impact on Anthony Edwards that he would remind him in the heat of battle what was going on during those sparring sessions. That's mentorship, in my opinion. And also, one final thing, because I know we got to hit a break here. Joe Flacco, again, just tell me what you really want to say, which is, I'm not a mentor. Don't hide behind, it's going to make me look bad. You know who thinks that it's going to make him look bad? Joe Flacco. He thinks that being a mentor is stupid. He thinks that being a mentor is going to make him look like lesser than as a competitor. That's not what everybody thinks. That's just
not everybody.
That's what clearly he thinks. It's a great answer, but I'm sorry.
Well, I believe people do think that. Maybe not everybody, but
I think you think that.
Well, I also think that.
Sorry, we got to go.
The term mentor is pejorative to a guy like Joe Flacco. But anyway, Jordan Poole. Unfair? Unfair to think the Warriors could have done a better job keeping him in the fold? Maybe they tried. I don't know. I just know that Guru would be all over the fact that, remember when Draymond said he didn't even know who Kuminga was a year ago? That's all. Maybe the big three could have done a better job.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.